Welcome, everyone. I'd like to start by hearing from a few people. What's something you're really hoping to get from this course? And that will help me orient to where the energy is.
I would love to get more creative about role plays and options for role plays. And I was intrigued by your idea of these like little tiny nugget role plays. So for me, just kind of expanding my concept of role plays and how I might use them.
Great, thank you.
Go ahead. I have had some role plays that have fallen flat, and I just that I've shied away from them instead of exploring what it might have been that I didn't get the results that I wanted. So I'm just looking for more strategies of how to make them work and not work, because I've had some experiences that have been incredibly powerful as well.
I just want to say in general, not specifically to role plays, I think the strategy of using your mistakes for learning is one of the best ways to move forward. And what you just described of once you try something and it doesn't work, you shy away from it, is something that a lot of people do. It's understandable emotionally because mistakes and failure have been sources of trauma for many of us. And I would love to propose to you that you celebrate every mistake as an opportunity to learn. And I mean it not in a kind of Pollyanna way. Until you make a mistake, you don't know what else there is to learn. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over again, and it kind of works, you'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You make a mistake and something happens. If you apply yourself to the mistake, to learn what is it that happened, why did it not work, and then know what to do the next time, you will grow as human, as trainer, much faster.
Thank you for hearing that.
I have only done role plays a little bit as I've facilitated groups and want to get more familiar. Made a couple of mistakes choosing a role where if I'd reversed the roles, if I had chosen the opposite person, I think it would have been much more effective. Just looking for a familiarity, a comfort, and ease.
Yeah.
You're unmuted. Go ahead.
I love role plays, and I'm very passionate about them. And so what caught my attention was the question of when it's best to use them. And I was thinking, oh, there's a time when it's maybe not best. Like in my mind, I just always want to go for that. So I wanted to see if I could find more nuance for using these as a tool.
Yeah, I generally like to have a palette of options rather than one tool for all occasions. And even when there is a role play, there is a time to harvest from the role play and debrief and do the learning. So it obviously can't be role play after role play after role play all the time because it gets saturated. So you would need to create more different possibilities. That's one thing. And the other is I find that there is no strategy that works for everyone. Breathing does, but in terms of learning, there's no strategy that works for everyone. And I also generally find that despite all this stuff about, you know, learning styles and all of that, which to me make people into static beings, that the same person, some strategy will work for them some of the time and some strategy will work another time. So I want to have creative possibilities regardless of what I do. Thank you.
You're next.
So I work in a situation where staff is dealing with people with a lot of intensity in trauma situations where the stimulus may be evoking a lot of trauma. And the staff isn't necessarily scared, but they don't seem to be able to respond with empathy. And I myself, in this kind of situation, this degree of intensity, feel a little bit uncertain about how to handle coaching.
Got it. So you wanted specific examples of situations that you would want to have role plays in. Yeah. I think we have one or two more people.
With role play, I feel that because of past experiences, I'm really comfortable. There's so much learning that has happened for me, both playing other people's part and my own, that I jump to it maybe too quickly. And so the idea of safety, not necessarily for me, but when I do engage with others, to make sure that I'm practicing awareness about what they are willing to do and how safe it is for them to do so, I tend to sort of go to it more authentically. Like I trust that they will know how to do it. And sometimes that's not what they're needing. They're needing more structure. So an idea of safety, and also to also make it playful, not to make it so that maybe a way of allowing it to feel safe is to also maybe finding the moment initially that would be a little bit lighter so mm-hmm. that it can be more playful and people can ease into it without sort of jumping into the moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
This actually just came to me while I was listening to everybody else. I hadn't ever thought about using role plays in a group, but in leading groups, I'm just wondering if they could be used for a group to practice group dynamics and just issues that come up as a group.
I want to see if I understand. Are you talking about role playing within a group, dynamics that exist within the group?
Yeah, I'm talking about one thing that comes up for me sometimes when I'm facilitating a practice group is somebody might be, I'm kind of talking, and people might start to get agitated and actually kind of as a group role playing how conversations might come up about how we talk or how we spend our time or when somebody, you know, okay. when we're sitting in a circle, that sort of thing.
So I'm confused because for me, role play, at least the way that I understand role play, is that not all the people relevant to the situation are in the room. And so at least some of the people are stepping into roles of people that they are not. And if the whole group is there and it relates to the group, I am confused about why you would call it a role play and not just dealing with what's happening in the group. Am I missing something?
Well, like I said, it's just something that came into me and I wasn't thinking about dealing with a particular situation. I was just thinking okay. about, I know that I work with people who work in groups and doing a role play, setting up a situation of, okay, you're in a meeting with five people and this thing happens. How might you, yeah. as a group, if you were the one who decided to speak up, what might you say and how yeah. might the other people in the group engage? And just actually practicing and playing that out.
Yeah. So what you're bringing in is the possibility of group role plays.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Anything significantly different from what has been already said?
I'm just thinking perhaps general guidelines for when to consider when a group is ready for a role play or perhaps not.
I think there is a fundamental question to be looked at, which is exactly the question. It came up in two different ways already. One is, what is the benefit of doing role plays? Why wouldn't you just skip over role plays and just teach everything and send them home? Why do you want to do role plays? And then there's a question of, is there a time when doing a role play might backfire? That's what I'm planning to go to next as soon as I hear the remaining people.
Thank you.
I'm calling together a group of people who really want to practice some really challenging role plays around racial issues and social justice issues that are popping up in our community because of the permission given more than ever. So I was hoping for some more food for me about how to deal with something that no one in the room has necessarily experienced. That's really the crux of it, I think.
Yeah, it's one thing to practice within the context of what's familiar to people. And it's another thing to do a role play where there isn't any reference, where it's essentially a process of discovery and going beyond fear. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what everyone is feeling alive about in the group that's saying yes to this idea.
And do you feel yourself with them or one step forward?
I'm hoping to get one step forward from this.
I see. Well, maybe, maybe not, because this is about role plays. This is not necessarily about content. In terms of content, in terms of dealing with racial issues, social justice issues, do you feel yourself at least one step more ready than the group?
I don't know. I've just been called to help it happen. Everyone's had experience in the group, and some maybe more than others.
Because I have found that there is nothing that says that just because I called a practice group, I need to know how to respond to every situation that a person brings in. There is something about acknowledging my own limitations as a human person and being humble about it that I think can free you up from that stress of having to know.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like I have to know. And that's why I'm asking everyone in. It's like, what do we know together?
Yeah, but since I'm not talking only to you, whenever I talk to one person in a group, I'm hopefully talking to everyone. I'm trying to extract from it something that might be useful to others. I'm quite confident that a lot of people have that implicit pressure that if you call a group, if you are facilitating, you're supposed to know. You know, it's kind of like if you call the group, you're supposed to know. Okay, I just received chat that I want to read for a moment. I don't fully understand what the person is saying. So if the person who wrote this wants me to understand, please speak.
What I was asking about is I'm not good at role plays. I haven't done them. I'm fairly new to NBC. And I thought this course would be one that I would learn how to use role play. And so far, I'm feeling frustrated because I feel like I need to get more content so that I have somewhere to put all the wonderful comments that people are making. But to me, it's I need to know more. And so maybe there's a different way I should be learning about role play.
Well, what I'm understanding from you is that you're looking for basics, like the preliminary basics about how to do role plays. For now, I would say give it a try and stick it out for today and see what happens.
Okay, that sounds fair, Mickey.
Okay, so I would like now to, first of all, define what a role play is. There are a lot of things that people put under the category of role play. And I want to start with a little bit of definition. What is a role play? What isn't a role play? Sometimes people even put under role play the idea that if somebody is bringing up something in a group, and I, as the leader of the group, provide empathy to the person, some people put that under role play. For me, it isn't a role play. For me, it is an interactive engagement providing empathy. I call something a role play when at least one person is literally playing a role that isn't their own. And that could be me, that could be the person with the situation, that could be another person, that could be two other people. That, to me, is the quintessential thing that I'm talking about, is at least one person in the interaction is being someone that they are not in real life. And that's what I'm focusing on in this course, not about how to give people empathy or any of those things. But to go back to this same situation, if somebody brings up a situation and if someone is bringing in a situation, let's say with their father, if I give them empathy as myself, it's not a role play. But if I give them empathy as their father, then it is a role play. That's where I draw the line. And with that, I wanted to ask people from your experience, what do you gain from doing role plays, from different people entering different roles that they may not be in real life? What are some of the gains that you get from that when you teach?
A person playing a role gets to experience what it's like to be that other person and perhaps what they're feeling and needing.
Yeah, I want to kind of expand on this a little bit because sometimes, let's say, person A has a situation and they want to do a role play with someone. And person B becomes that person. Okay, person A, person B, it's so very difficult. Okay, let's say that Jane wants to do a role play with her father. And David steps into being the father. Then even though it's Jane's situation and Jane gets whatever benefit she will get, a whole separate benefit is that David then learns a little bit beyond his own experience, how to understand a new person. And through that, something happens that is beyond the person in the situation. And I wanna say that it is always, for me, when I set up a role play or when I do anything in a group, I'm always thinking not just about the person whose situation it is. It's not just that I want to benefit that person. Of course I do. But if I benefit that person and the rest of everyone is kind of like waiting and watching and, you know, what's happening and they're not gaining something from it, then the role play is not useful. So what you're bringing into it is that the other people in the role play gain direct benefit from expanding their range of human experiences. Anytime we enter a role, I have experienced this anytime, and I have done hundreds of role plays over the years, if not thousands. Each time, my human capacity expands because I learn one more piece of what it means to be human. And that is one of the benefits to the person. Other benefits.
For role plays, for me, it just, when I'm participating in a role play, I recently had one where I was holding a man and I was his mother, and it opened my heart. We were connected and I saw a piece of him and connected with him that I otherwise probably never would have had that opportunity. And I think that's really a piece of gold there.
Yeah. What I'm hearing from you is that overall, bringing role plays into a group is a way to enhance connection and enhance open-heartedness.
Yes.
Thank you. Other things, in terms of sharing NVC, what is useful about role plays?
What I've found is that role plays can often bring something alive to the group. Sometimes a person's not available. Sometimes a person themselves is not able to come up with the words to express the needs and what's alive in them. That's a huge benefit, I think, to role play, and it allows the group then to work with something which is alive, which is very important to my learning process.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the most obvious thing, and yet it needs to be said, which is it makes things alive. It moves from concept to experience. And it allows for seeing what is really at stake. I remember in particular a time when I was teaching a group of therapists who by necessity think that they already know how to do empathy or how to interact with each other and things of this nature. And when things were talked about, it seemed to them like it was all very clear. And it wasn't until we started doing some role plays that they went, oh, this stuff is difficult. Not as obvious as it seems. Thank you.
We've got one more.
For me, there are things that I can teach in a role play much more effectively than I could say as a facilitator. So for example, if I'm role playing someone's daughter, you know, I can embody her and actually have access to things that I as facilitator don't know, but I can also speak to her as my mother, which is different than how I would speak to her as a participant when I'm the facilitator. So it can really accelerate the learning and free up communication.
Yeah. And one of the things is that when you as facilitator role play someone, you can say things as feedback from that person that if you said them as the facilitator could be upsetting to the person. But if you say them within the role, it makes sense. Like if you tell somebody, I think your daughter would be really upset if you said this, they would go, how do you know? Why do you say that? You know, I've tried it, blah, blah, blah. But if you get into the daughter and you say, you know, here's what happens to me when you say these things that you just said, they can take it in because there is a kind of a logic to it that makes it flow. Thanks.
Okay, we've got a couple more.
I think what the beauty of role play is that it allows the participants first to be in the moment and in the feeling in a way that when you talk about it, keeps you more in your head. So for those who are actually in the role play or in the role being, you can actually begin to feel what it would feel like or what felt like to be there. And I think what happens, the magic of roleplay for me, is that for the participants to watch you, because you're sort of beginning to feel it in your body, the people begin to feel it in their body. And so the feeling gets, it's much more authentic in that I think you're more connected to that which cannot be said or spoken to, even though you will try to harvest and do the talking. Those moments are very precious to me because it's not about what my head is telling me the story is, but what my body is feeling and how it's reacting to what the story is.
Yeah, I want to offer a tiny bit of reframe of what you said. Instead of looking at the head and the body as two different things that are at odds with each other, I am for integration. That to my mind, learning, if it happens only on one level, without other levels, it doesn't integrate as well. I remember a time when I was talking with someone and I was sharing with her how I had just been in a group and I had done something and there was a kind of like a magical experience that happened. I don't even remember what it was. And I then added that I didn't think they even knew what I had done or what their experience was. I just saw them experiencing it. And the person I was talking with said, if they don't also know it in words, it won't stay with them. The learning will not be as good. So there's something for me about integrating the thoughts and the words and the heart experience and the body experience all in one, which is what I aim for when I teach, not just one and not just the other. I'm wondering if that reframe works.
Yes, I think I like the idea. You talk about integrating, it makes so much sense, and it also talks about enriching. And I think it's true that after the experience, you might have a sense of the experience, but if you've not find the words to capture it, it's harder to sort of share it. Makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah, it's almost for me like the words at the very least provide the bridge into the future memory of the experience, at the very least, so that I have something that if those words come up, I can then recall the alive experience of the moment. Whereas if I only have the experience, my belief is, and maybe I'm biased, but my belief is that just experience without the frame to understand the experience is not as deep.
Yes, I think I would just add that the frame allows me to share it. When I find the words for it, the words become witnesses, and they not only remind me of the experience, I'm able to share it in a way that's much more generous, I think, than simply saying, oh, I felt wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's hear from the next person.
I have a question that came up from hearing what somebody had just shared. I was wondering if, in terms of how to interrupt as a facilitator, if the role player isn't skilled in language of compassion and starts to speak from a place that is really stimulating or triggering to the participant whose role play it is.
Okay, I think you're beginning to get into what are some of the role play nightmares that can happen. And what do we do in setting up a role play that would, you know, reduce the chances of nightmares happening? We cannot eliminate them. I'm planning to go to that. All right. Let's hear from people that we haven't heard from.
So I think one of the benefits of role plays is that somebody can receive empathy, compassion from somebody in their life that they feel deeply hurt by that in reality would never happen. And I've seen great healing for people just to be in that role play and to receive that. So I think that's a great benefit.
So the way I would kind of like to generalize from it, one of the things that can happen in a role play is healing. There can be healing, there can be learning, there can be aliveness, there can be practicality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else to add that has not yet been said?
What I have used role plays for most successfully and what I like is, for me, they've been training wheels. As a beginner in NBC, the whole idea of getting the whole sentence out of, this is what happened, I feel, I need, a request, it feels like a really long paragraph. In role plays, when someone else is being someone, standing in for someone. It gives me a chance to practice tone, practice pacing, see how the words affect somebody, and I get to hit the rewind button and try it over and over, and I build confidence until when I get there.
So a role play kind of like stands on the cusp between reality and imagination. Because, you know, you have the freedom to play with things to your heart's content. And no one is actually going to be hurt or upset in reality. Nor are you even committing yourself to having the conversation with someone. You're just practicing. And there is something about that container that allows people to build the muscles.
Yes, training wheels.
Even while, if you set it up well, it feels real to people. So that's why I'm saying it straddles that divide between reality and fantasy, because it partakes of both.
Yeah, and I get to play with the technicalities of talking long enough to feel like the principle underneath, like I really want to connect with you with softness. And I can't manage the words and the feeling at the same time until I get to practice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hi, Mickey. Another one that occurs to me is kind of like along with the last one, the cusp between reality and imagination, is it allows for mess ups. Mm-hmm. It allows for trying on, you know, that other person trying, saying whatever it is, and then sort of rewinding and saying, and so that's, I guess, where the coaching comes in. How about if you said it like this and the person, you know, again, there's that feeling of, oh, you know, something new.
Yeah. So the way that I would talk about it is role plays create teachable moments where, you know, the concept, instead of being abstract, if you fit in the coaching to exactly what is happening and just give the right measure, instead of overwhelming the person with too much coaching or not giving coaching at all, if you give the right measure of coaching, you can get a person to move to the next step of learning in a way that is integrated and organic and real. Thank you. All right. I think I want to move now to talking about when do role plays not work? Or what are some of the kind of like nightmare scenarios that can happen, and why and what can we do to avoid them? Anyone has any experiences with that?
I just had a nightmare scenario. It was a great reason to take this class. I think I understood exactly what I needed to do differently. I needed to leave more time. I started it at the end of a class because I thought it would be easy.
Can I pause you? Because as you speak, I want to extract principles, which is there is something inherently unpredictable about role plays. You can set it up, give instructions and all of that. As soon as you release it, you do not know what is going to happen. And that's a core issue to consider in choosing whether or not to use a role play. Because especially the less experienced the group, the more unpredictable it becomes. Like Punita was talking about somebody suddenly starting to speak with a lot of judgments or whatever, and they don't know. They think they're following your instructions. And especially like you're saying, if you don't leave enough time, if you don't leave a container, if you all kinds of things, it can really backfire and interfere. Yes. So that's one thing. What else did you learn from your experience?
I learned that, you know, I think maybe if I had been much more self-connected, it would have been fine. So I think that's the other real thing I learned. And the way it happened is that we started it with a scenario that had been given to us. No one had experienced it themselves. And then we started it, and the class asked the person who was role-playing the difficult person. They said, oh, you're making it much too easy. Make it much harder. So the person made it much harder, like, okay, I'll call you later. You know, don't call me, I'll call you. And I just felt lost. I had totally lost my self-connection. If I had been self-connected, I might have been able to respond with empathy to the difficult person. That was it. That's it.
Yeah. So there is a question which has to do with your role as facilitator. There are two parts to it. One is, are you going to be part of the role play or not? This is always a question. There's a way in which I reduce the unpredictability if I am part of the role play. And in reducing the unpredictability, I also provide less opportunity for experimentation. And fewer people get their feet wet if I am part of the role play. That's kind of like the trade-off. And whether or not I'm part of the role play, my body needs to be in flow. The actual body that I have needs to be in flow so that I have access to my intuition and my wisdom to respond to all the unpredictability that comes up. When do I start? When do I stop? When do I coach? When do I not? How do I respond to the disaster that just happened, etc.? Okay.
Let me just throw in one other thing. If you have any suggestions or coaching for how to stay in flow, to keep your body in flow, that could be very helpful.
This is a little bit outside of the scope of this particular class. It's a lifelong work. I'm more thinking of it in terms of, if you don't see that you are in the flow, it might not be the best time to start a role play. It might be better to give people an activity to do on their own while you recover. A role play is very exposed and relies on you. So I would say, separate from all the practices of self-connection, I would advise you to always have in your toolkit activities that you can give to people with very little instruction that require very little of you, so that while they're doing it, you can do whatever you need to do to recover yourself. Does that help? Okay, great. Do we have more people who wanted to say something?
The reason I'm calling in is because I did have a disaster that made me very shy.
So what happened was, we were reviewing something from Marshall's book about a situation that was a high crisis situation in which he was reporting on someone using NBC, and I had someone in the practice group saying that that was just very ill-advised. He was a former firefighter, never do this. And he was very upset, and I said, well, what if we role-played that? And we attempted to role-play that, and it was a disaster for me because it went from role-playing a role to role-playing being. And I'm looking forward to talking more about or learning more about that with you. He was very much in a being role and was very intense and angry and aggressive in the role play. And I was like, yikes! And I've been shy ever since. So I think some discernment about, I mean, the learning I take away from that is the difference between role playing and role being. And I certainly want to learn more about that because I still feel pretty shy.
I'm a little confused because from your words, it sounds like to my ear, like you're saying that you have some concern about role being.
Actually, maybe it's the way that I'm interpreting, but yes, because I sense there's a lot of healing opportunity in being the role that you are taking on. But in this case, he was so authentic in his role he took on was of a basically a drug addict who was needing a place to stay for the night and was about to beat up the woman who was at the door. And he was taking that role on. And so his role very authentic, and I didn't have the skills to cope with that at all. So I thought that kind of role being wasn't helpful to me. Certainly it was very frightening.
Okay. So I do want to talk today before we end about the difference between role playing and role being. And I want to speak about it now, because for me, when I set up a role play, one of the most important things that I think of in terms of instruction. For me, one of the biggest nightmares that can happen in a role play is when someone scripts the role instead of entering the role. And to me, that's different from what happened with you. So it's kind of like there's a spectrum where a lot of times, especially if you ask a person to play the role of the other person in their situation, they're likely to script it. And there are things you can do to exit the scripting. But before it even happens, I want to tell people when I set up the role play, I want to tell people what it means to role be rather than role play. We'll get into that in a second. I want to go back to your situation in which somebody is playing a role in a way that you think goes beyond the learning capacity or the limits of the person who is learning. And what can you do then? In this moment, I see two options for you. One is that you can ask the person to tone down their way of playing. You know, someone else spoke, and, you know, in a kind of like completely spontaneous way, it happens in that person's group, whoever it was, I don't remember, which is that somebody said, oh, you're making it too easy. In just the same way, you can say you're making it too difficult. And it's really tricky because if somebody is really in a role very authentically, what does it mean to tell them your role is too difficult? It's basically asking them to rethink who they are. It's never about being artificial. So I never want people to go into the other side of scripting. And the reason I don't want scripting to happen because when a character is scripted, there's never going to be a shift. And it is so demoralizing when you're trying to do a role play and there is a character in the role play that is scripted and therefore nothing can happen. No intervention will do anything because the person will just say that same line again and again and again. So I want to find a way to get people out of scripting. And the way that I usually frame it to them is I ask them to imagine being that person. Instead of thinking what the person would say, imagine that they are that person in that situation. And if they are that person in that situation, what would they say? That's when it starts being an experience of expanding your human range, is if you're actually trying to be the person. It sounds like your guy was really successful, but it was just not calibrated for what the role play called for. And when that happens, you can ask him to change who he imagines that he is. And that would not be offensive. You could say, wow, this looks really authentic and real. And my worry is that for Jane, it's beyond her capacity. And if we want Jane to actually have an experience of learning something, let's see if we can tone down. Can you think of your character a little differently? Maybe pick up someone who is a little less angry. Still be authentic, still be real, but one notch down. Almost anyone can do that. If he can't do that, you can replace him. Somebody else can do it. It doesn't have to be the person playing the role. Okay, it's too hard for you to be that kind of a person. Let's see if somebody else can play the role. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is you can step in. You can step in and then it shifts the purpose from being a practice opportunity for someone to being inspiration about what's possible. If you can step into the situation and show a way in which that really, really, really angry person can be received, even if the person is not able to do that, they have now something on their horizon, something that serves as North Star. I know where I'm heading. I'm not there now, but I know where I'm heading. I can go practice in that direction. Did that help?
Yes.
Okay, so I am wondering if there is anyone who has enough courage and willingness to serve by trying to do a little role play, setting up a role play, and see how you do it, and then we can work from there on instructions. Okay, so do you have a role play in mind that you want to set up?
Well, no.
Then your first thing is to ask for a volunteer.
Okay, how about a volunteer?
That's not what you would say in a group that you run. You are actually in a role play now.
So I'm asking them, a person volunteer, to do a role play with me when I don't even have an idea of what the role play is. Is that what you're saying?
If you want to set up a role play, it's either because there's something that's already happened or there's something in particular that you would want to teach people. Can you think of something that you would want to teach people and how you might ask for a role play based on that? Let me express this again. You get into a role play either because something just happened and it intuitively seems to you like that's the way to address it, or you have a teaching point that you want to make using role play. Let's make your life a little easier and let's ask for somebody who can volunteer to be someone with a situation that Stephen would then set up a role play for. Does anybody have the capacity right now to step into the role of a participant in a group that Stephen is leading who has a situation?
So you want me to be a participant, and that is just to tell you the situation that's at hand. Okay. Well, my situation is I visited a friend, my best friend, one of my best friends in Arizona, and spent some time at his house. And we started to get into a discussion about current politics. For me, it felt like a toxic setup. My friend happens to be very much under the idea that Trump represents someone who is a real true danger and goes to the point of making references to Hitlerian, you know, comparisons and things like this nature. And so it was very much an uncomfortable place that I really wanted to just spend some time with my good friend, and I did not want to get into the whole political agenda thing.
Can I pause you for a second?
Sure.
Stephen, as you are listening to this, everyone else, if you're imagining listening to this, two questions that I want to know if you're thinking about. One is, how much do you have to hear before you're ready to set up the role play? How much of the story do you really need to hear? And at what point do you ask the person to pause, or you ask the person specific questions? Because when a person speaks and tells a story in a group, it consumes energy from the group that may or may not be necessary. So I always want to know, when I listen to somebody, what do I need to know in order to be able to set up the role play? How much information do I need, and do I already have it? And the second is, who are the characters and how would I set it up? I'm wondering, were you going into a place of just politely listening to someone until they're done? Or were you actually thinking that you still need all this information?
I was listening more and thinking about what was underneath what he was saying, what Gordon was saying.
Yeah. If we want to effectively facilitate a group and extract the information necessary for role play, it's on our toes the whole time. There is something that can happen when we listen to a person that we can go into a kind of like reduce alertness, waiting until the person is done, and then I take my next step. I'm guessing that that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, now that you've had a chance to hear this, if you can replay it in your mind, do you have a sense that you were hearing just as much as you were needing, not enough or too much?
Let me answer it this way. I think that underneath what Gordon was saying, I heard a need for him to change the direction of the conversation between him and the person that he was talking to.
Okay, that's you listening to what's going on for him. Mm-hmm. And it's useful information. What I'm asking for is, what is necessary information in order to set up a role play? How much information do we need? And one of the tools that I often use, and somebody earlier talked about being playful, and I like being playful in this way, I ask people to tell me the story from the end rather than from the beginning. Let's start over and let's see if you can direct the show with Gordon instead of moving into a passive role. When you facilitate a group, listening cannot be a passive role. Because if you go into a passive role, the group is no longer held. So let's start over. Gordon, are you okay to start over?
Yes, I am.
there's no request of you to do anything differently from what you have done, only Stephen. Even though you heard what I said, as much as you can, don't let that affect the way that you tell your story. I want Stephen to do the work, not you. And watch what I just did, because that's, in effect, we are doing a two-layered thing here right now. One is, I am working with a role play of Stephen is teaching, leading a group, and Gordon is a participant. That's a role play. It's not really happening. And so I want to editorialize what I am doing in setting up that role play, which is I am sculpting. I'm constantly sculpting. And because people hear me all the time, I need to be explicit. If I didn't say anything to Gordon, most likely his second rendition would have been different. And that would not have allowed the practice to happen where I want it to happen. I want the practice to happen on Stephen's end. I need to sculpt it explicitly. Otherwise, it would go a different way. All right. Go, Gordon.
Perfect. Okay. So the issue at hand is that I have a really close friend that I went to visit in another city. And I got there, and immediately there was a tone that was very intense.
Yes. Pause. Stephen, you're doing it again.
Yeah, I'm just not sure where to jump in here.
Do you struggle to jump in overall?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the next round, just practice jumping in at a certain point, regardless of what Gordon says, just so that your body can experience the possibility of jumping in. It doesn't even matter what you say. I just want you to experience the act of jumping in. It's an essential capacity for facilitators to be able to jump in. And it goes against many of the world's cultures, not all of them, but many of the world's cultures favor your behavior of just waiting. So I'm just going to ask you to experiment with jumping in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome. Okay, so Stephen, the issue is I went and visited a friend of mine. Okay, and a very close friend.
Gordon, can I stop you there, please? So can you start from the end of your story and tell me exactly what it is that you would like to get out of this role play?
Okay, thank you. First of all, let's just find out, how was it for you to step in?
It was risky. I felt empowered, though.
Yeah, and that empowerment is an essential ingredient of facilitation. And think of it in this way. There's a whole group that depends on you. You're not in an individual interaction with the person speaking. That's what it is. In an individual interaction, it's only what happens to you and what happens to the other person. When there is a group, I want each one of us to always carry the entire group. Every word that the person says, and I'm not doing anything with that word, is weight on the group. Weight, W-E-I. And what you did is you stepped in. I don't know if you stepped in the best possible moment, but you stepped in and you asked the question. And in that way, you're directing it. And it suddenly becomes sharp and alive in a different way. I'm curious, how many people felt that way, that something changed as soon as Stephen came in? Liked it or not, but you felt that somehow something is held in a different way. Would you go like this if that's true for you? Just visual, yeah. So it definitely has that effect. How many of you, again, just do thumbs, in the very first round, you kind of tuned out when Gordon was speaking? Okay. So that's the thing. You see, Stephen, even if you personally can stay connected with a person when they're speaking, there is a whole group that you're caring for. You need to attend to that group by the willingness to step in. Second thing, I like your question, what do you want to get out of this role play? That question, I mean, obviously we set up a little bit of an awkward situation. I would say that in setting up the role play about the role play, I did not give clear enough instructions. I see that. And it's wonderful to see that even within this kind of context, if I don't do it, it falls apart very easily. And I am fine with it. I'm not wedded to perfection. So I'm actually a little bit entertained from what happened. But the question, what do you want to get out of this role play, is a wonderful question before the person starts the story. Once the person started the story, if you stop them and ask them what you want to get out of this role play, it shifts their focus and it disconnects them from the story. Fundamentally, the information that I need from someone, the bare bones, is who is the person and what is it that they said or did. Then if that's not enough, then I can ask for the rest of it. So since we're almost out of time, I want to just try out doing it with Gordon so we have a closed loop and we pick up tomorrow. So Gordon, I know that you have a situation, and I'd like to start with the very end of the story. Can you say, who is the person, and what's the thing that they did at the end that was difficult for you, that you didn't know how to respond to?
The end of the story was agreeing to get together after I had left his space to go visit my sister instead. And it was about changing the plans for us to spend time together, and he was disappointed.
Okay. So, perfect. What happened is I don't have enough information. I don't know what the role play is about from hearing this. And that can happen. So I go backwards from there and I collect information that will bring me to the moment. There is a moment of breakdown that is the moment that the person wants to play. There can be years of story that go into that, but there is a moment. And it's the moment that we play. We don't play a story. We play a moment. That's why when I hear somebody's story, I need to kind of like sift through it and collect what is the moment that we need to play. All right. We got 2 minutes left. And before we go, I would love to hear from a couple of people. What's something that you got from today's session that's useful for you?
What really struck me was your very recent statement that there's a whole group that depends on me, and I want to seize the power in that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What struck with me is the idea of not letting someone go on and tell their story, and just really cutting into that at a point and just asking for, like, basically the outline.
Thank you. Let's hear one more.
The idea of starting from the end, mm-hmm, is brilliant. And then you said that you play a moment, not a story. That's amazing to me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll continue tomorrow and get to practice different types of role plays and see what different effects they have. All right. Bye, everyone.